a collector of what's called Breweriana. Breweriana is the collection of anything and everything to do with the brewing industry. Started off as a kid in the early 70s collecting cans. There was a big can craze. And then as an adult, needed to fill a room, quote, man cave, and basically it took off from there. There are three major national club hobby clubs, and they all collect Breweriana, and it's just, as an adult, it's turned into a passion. And that passion also, you know, I have a passion for history, so I wanted to know more about Springfield and their breweries. And aside from Reich, there were seven other breweries in Springfield. So my love of history and love of Breweriana kind of melded together, and that's how I learned about the Reich Brewery.
And so was the Reich the first brewery in Springfield?
It was not. The first brewery was actually in 1840. It was the Busher Brewery, and it lasted until about 1860. A guy by the name of John Busher Jr. Opened the first brewery. Back in the day, because beer couldn't or wasn't able to be refrigerated or pasteurized, almost every town had a brewery. The only significance really with the Reich Brewery in Springfield was its size. They actually did ship beer off to other cities within Central Illinois, Taylorville, Jacksonville, south to Vandalia. But because the beer only kept for about a week, unless you kept it cold, it spoiled. So they were limited by their areas.
And so when did the Reich Brewery, how did it get started in Springfield? When was it founded?
It was founded in 1849 by Franz Sales Reich. He came to Springfield via Beardstown. He had actually lived in Beardstown for a little while, trying to make a living over there, and he made his way to Springfield in 1849, and he decided to open the brewery here.
So how would the beer that they made back during those times compare to domestic beers that we're used to today?
They are very different, for sure. Obviously, our beer is pasteurized. Most beers now are pasteurized. The beers that you have in your stores, your stuff that is for commercial sale, it can sit on the shelf for months. Whereas back then, unpasteurized beer that wasn't kept cold, it spoiled and it had, you know, much, much different flavor. Beer that we traditionally drink now, your domestic beers, your Millers, your Coors, your Budweisers, they're very light in flavor compared to the beer back in the day. You have to remember that primarily the brewing industry was had a large influence from the Germans that came over immigrating at that time. So they had a very heavily influenced flavor on how they made beers. It wasn't until after the turn of the 20th century that they started making beers a little bit lighter. So the beers were much heavier in flavor, in materials that they used, whether it was wheat or barley or maple or whatever they used, they were just heavily influenced different.
And what about alcohol content? Was that different?
You know, based upon today's craft brews, I'm going to assume, and I don't have any proof of this, but I'm going to assume that they were a little bit higher than what we're used to, our 3% beer that we drink now. Some of the craft brews now can go anywhere from 4, 5, 6, 7, even 9% per glass.
And so how did the Reich Brewery compare to other breweries during the same time period? And clarify for us again when the Reich Brewery would have been open.
It started in 1849 and closed in 1966, and it spanned about 117 years. You know, I can't speak to their flavors of beer and how it tasted. I'm one of the younger guys in the National Hobby Club at 47, and some of the older guys who were around, who still are in the hobby today, who drank it, did not enjoy the flavor at all. They said that it was just not one of the types of beers that they enjoyed. That flavor, along with the influence of the heavy markets of the big boys from St. Louis and Milwaukee, really were the cause of the brewery to go under. They just couldn't compete with the heavy, heavy advertising that took place in the 50s and the 60s.
And so was that the longest running brewery in Springfield?
Yes, it was.
And so did Prohibition play a role at all in it ultimately closing, or what happened to it during that time period?
No, during Prohibition, the brewery did remain active. Like most other brewers that remained in business, they changed their business. They were making non-alcoholic drinks, sodas, ice creams. Different places made different things just to keep the doors open. But certainly it did have an influence in the amount of money that they could throw back into the brewing industry after Prohibition. They certainly didn't have the money of the big boys to really go back at it, and that's where the advertising came in heavily, whereas the Budweisers, the Millers, and the Milwaukee-based breweries, Pabst and Blatt's, they tried to be national beers. They were anywhere you could go in the nation, you could get a Budweiser. And that was Anheuser-Busch's goal. That was something that Reich could never compete with. And ultimately, that was what made them close.
All right. And I guess, as you mentioned, that didn't actually happen until the 1960s that it closed.
It closed in 1966, yes.
You mentioned that there were other Springfield breweries that existed. Any other interesting Springfield beer history that listeners might be interested to know about?
Yeah, there was an actual one of the breweries that opened in 1857 called the Coon Brewery. It was around from 1857 to 1877. In the 1990s, there was some construction work going on Walnut Street just north of Carpenter. There's a nursing home there now. On that street, there were some workers doing some work, and they dug through, and they ended up into some old caverns that existed from the Coon Brewery. And they went down there, and they inspected them and looked around. They didn't find any brewing equipment, any beer, any bottles, or anything of that nature, but there are still some pictures from the Coon caves back in the day. It's very interesting. Certainly the guys in the club wish that they hadn't demolished, the city and the state hadn't demolished them, but they did. So that's an interesting story about the Coon Brewery.
And then finally, we've been looking into craft breweries, microbreweries that exist today, but does it seem, without there being places like the Reich Brewery in Springfield, is it the case that either you're a small brewery these days or you're a big Budweiser, Miller, Coors type corporation?
Well, you know, the craft brewing industry is less than 3% of all of the market. But what we're seeing is that it's the brewing industry is coming around full circle, where back in the 1800s, every town had its own little brewery, and then towards the beginning of the 20th century, into the 50s and the 60s, then all the big guys took over. Well, it's coming full circle again, where each town is having their own small little breweries again. I would say right now that they're never going to be able to compete at that mass level. There's, you know, Sam Adams, the Boston Brewing Company. They're not even considered a craft brewer anymore because they make over a million barrels a year. Once you reach that, you're not considered a craft brewer anymore. I don't think that we're going to have that issue here in Springfield anytime soon. We do have two very active brewers, Rolling Meadows and Obin and Isaac's Brewery, and they create very good beers. I personally don't like them all, but I do like some that they do, and they're very popular, and they're popular enough that they run out of certain brands. So obviously they're doing something right.